Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of OEM TV. I'm Eric Mills with Microsoft. I do Windows Server marketing, and in this video we're going to be talking about Windows Server containers. The world is abuzz with containers. As you know, containers are a new feature of Windows Server 2016, and there's a lot to learn, so let's help you get up to speed. In this video, Paul is going to start with the basics. You know, what is a container? How is it different from a virtual machine? And, you know, what are the different languages and words that we have to use? What is the container terminology that we all need to learn so that we can put these things to work? He's going to show you how containers interact with storage, which is very different from how a virtual machine interacts with storage. And he's going to talk about how containers work with the Docker engine. Also talk about Hyper-V containers, which you definitely want to know about. At the end, he'll actually just show you how to get started with containers. So there's a lot to learn here. Hope you're ready to learn about containers, because there's a lot of really good info in this video from Paul. Enjoy the video. We'll see you next time on OEM TV.
Hello, everyone. This is an introduction to containers on Windows Server 2016. Because containers are such a hot topic, why don't we go ahead and get right into it? So, what is a container? From a high level, containers are the next step in the evolution of virtualization. Containers still do use virtualization, but just in a different form. So they are an isolated, resource-controlled, and portable operating environment, and we'll see that later. And then a container is isolated to varying degrees, where an application can run without affecting the rest of the system, and without the system affecting the application, obviously to varying degrees. So if you were inside a container, it would look very much like you were inside a freshly installed physical computer or a virtual machine, and then it's more lightweight than a traditional virtual machine. So if we step back a little bit and look at this in somewhat of a historical context, normally you would have a system, right? So it's got hardware, an operating system, and the application on the OS. And with traditional virtual machines and traditional virtualization, you're basically emulating the hardware so that a virtual machine can then run in that hardware virtualization, and it's got a full-blown OS, and it's got the application, and that environment is a virtual machine, and obviously you can stack multiple virtual machines on your hardware. So in this case, you've now got hardware, the operating system, and obviously a kernel of the operating system, and the applications that sit on top of it. So a container basically sits on top of the kernel, and the kernel is emulated. And you can see that multiple containers can sit on the kernel in that operating system environment. So in terms of Windows Server, you've got Windows Server containers so that you can have multiple containers that sit right on top of the kernel. Or you can have Hyper-V containers. And the Hyper-V containers just provide isolation and some degree of higher performance. And so all of those, the kernels and the containers, sit on top of Hyper-V in a normally virtualized environment. So there's one more option here as well. So you can see that there's the hardware, the operating system, the application, and then a virtual machine. But the reality is, inside of a virtual machine as well, you can run multiple containers. And there's several reasons you might want to do that. The main one being that with containers, storage isn't persistent. It basically goes away when the container goes away. However, if you're running your containers inside a virtual machine, then you can save them to the virtual hard disk, and basically when you stop that virtual machine, and then when you start it up again, you can start from where you left off with your containers. So how do containers work? From a very high level, you see on the bottom here the operating system. And then there's the Docker engine or a container engine, the Docker client, Docker PowerShell, Docker Compose, the Docker registry, Docker Swarm, and then this Docker Universal Control Plane. But the container runtime is actually in the operating system itself. So for Windows containers, you can see that there's this host user mode and all the system processes, the session manager, local security authority, and other system processes that basically can run applications are there. And then the container management, meaning the Docker engine and the compute services that go along with that, are in the user mode as well. So then a container has the system processes that are necessary for the application, and then it has the application processes as well. And then for a virtual machine that's running in Hyper-V, you can see that there is a Hyper-V container. So the Hyper-V container is like a wrapper around the Windows Server container. This also means that Windows Server containers and Hyper-V containers can run on the same system at the same time. Now, obviously, there's performance issues with that. The containers that are directly taking up resources from the parent partition will affect the virtual machine or the Hyper-V container. So then what is a container image? First, let's look at some container terminology. First one up here is the container host. It's the physical or virtual computer system configured with the Windows container feature. So it could be either running on directly on hardware, or it could be in a virtual machine. And then the container OS image. So containers are deployed from an image. The container OS image is the first layer and potentially many image layers that make up a container. So you can actually have multiple application layers in addition to the operating system image layer. So this image provides the operating system environment for the applications. And then the container image. A container image contains the base operating system, application, and all application dependencies needed to quickly deploy a container. In a container image, there's the container OS image, which is the base layer, the base operating system, and then the applications and all the application dependencies that allow you to run that container. And then there's the container registry. So container images are stored in the container registry, and they can be downloaded on demand. You have to be kind of careful sometimes because some of those container images are very, very large. And then there's the Docker file. So Docker files are used to automate the creation of container images. So the automation for a container image might be to bring in the container OS image, the applications and dependencies for that particular application to create that container. So let's just look at a container image. It's somewhat analogous to a VHD and config file is to a virtual machine. It's created by running a container and capturing changes. And then the changes include files and the registry. So you can see here, there's a Windows Server image and it's got the metadata, like the name of the system, the creation data, how you want it to be set up, commands to execute, and any dependencies that it might need. And then there's contents. There's the registry, files, and folders to actually have that be a base OS image. And then to take that one step further, you can see the base OS image, then an application framework, and then the application. So in this case, you know, Windows Server is the base OS image, an application framework, meaning IIS, and then the website itself, which is the application. Though it could be a very simple website, or it could even be a complex website. And then for the base OS image, you can see that you've got the registry with the different types of keys. You got the folders and files with all, you know, perf logs, program files, users, Windows, basically a Windows Server image. And then on top of that, you've got other image contents. Remember the layering aspect? I can layer images that then create a single image of the whole thing. But I've got the base OS image, and then I've got the application and the framework. And on top of that, which has all the registry settings that are necessary to run the application, and it's got the folder and the files that are necessary to run that particular application. And then there's the image registries. So what's a registry? It basically stores container images. It's a repository of container images. So images are pushed into the registry, images can be pulled from the registry, and then you can also search for images within the registry. There are different types of image registries. So there's the Docker Hub and Docker Store, where there's public, official, and private image repositories, depending upon what you want to set up. And then there's granular access controls with organizational support, meaning you can set up who has access to what registries and what portions of what registry. And then there's this automated image build support. So you can go ahead and build images out of multiple base OS images, multiple applications, whatever you want to do. And then there's the Docker Trusted Registry, and that's an enterprise-grade private registry. and it runs on your infrastructure, whether that's on-prem or in the cloud, you control it. And it can have Active Directory and role-based access controls again, so you can determine who has access to what images and what they can do in that registry. And then there's the Docker registry, and that's the open source foundation of Hub, the Docker Hub, and the Docker Trusted Registry as well. And that can run on your infrastructure, on-prem or the cloud, as a container. So it's a big container of a very large number of images itself. And there's a couple URLs for you to get started. So how do you get started? The first thing you want to do is to install the Docker PowerShell module. So it's install module. The name is Docker Microsoft Provider. The repository is the PowerShell Gallery. And then install the latest version of Docker, and that's a package. And then restart your system. And then update Windows Server. So type in sconfig and select update the server. And then basically deploy your first container with that command, docker run microsoft.net samples :.net app -nano server. And what that will do is bring out of the registry the .NET sample that is running on nano server. And it will just run for you. And this one runs as a Windows Server container, not a Hyper-V container, but a Windows Server container. And the Hyper-V container is next. And to run the first container in Hyper-V, basically the same steps as outside of Hyper-V, you know, install the PowerShell module, install the latest version of Docker, restart the computer, update the system, and then deploy your first container. You can see Docker run, and then the key here is isolation equals Hyper-V. So you're specifying that you want the isolation in this case to be in Hyper-V, and that will allow you to run your container inside a Hyper-V container. Let's look a little bit more at Docker run, because that's the command that actually runs the container itself. So it creates and starts a new container. You have a number of runtime options, so that you can name the system, name your container, because really it has a base OS image that has to be named. It has to have, you know, network access and those types of things. Whether it's interactive or a service, so meaning whether you want to interact with that a container or if it just sits there and runs as a service. You have to configure the network, you have to give it an IP address, gateway, those types of things. And then how you want to do resource management, how you want to map volumes to storage, what level of isolation you saw with Hyper-V, the isolation was equal to Hyper-V. And then at the bottom, there's a link there that has all of the runtime options that are available in the command line for Docker run. And there's a significant number of them.